All right, it's gonna be a little weird not learning on Shavuos night. I think other than COVID, we've had the chance to learn together for many, many, many years. So I guess we ended up getting an extra Megillas Ruos in. So God willing, everybody will join us here, and one day soon we'll get to learn again on Yantiv. So the last week, it's actually the sources are very similar in terms of the psukim themselves. The mefarshim are a little bit different. But last week, we took a look at the first parak of the Megillah, and we very, very, very briefly touched on the question about Rut and her conversion, and whether or not she did convert or she didn't convert. And I guess in the end, whether she converted or not is not so important, because the perspective that people have as you look through the rest of the Megillah is that she's a Moaviyah. So she could have been Jewish, she couldn't have been Jewish, but nobody really considered her to be part of the Jewish people. So the question that I want to try to figure out is what motivates Ruth in this story to stay with Naomi? It seems to be very much counterintuitive. Naomi doesn't necessarily want her there. There doesn't seem to be any benefit to her staying there, and yet she does. So the question really, and possibly the only question that I want to try to figure out tonight, is what's her motivation in staying with her mother-in-law? So, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chet, V'atomer Naomi l'shtei chalotei, Aleich nashov na'isha l'veit ima, Ya'as Hashem imachem chesed, kasher yasiti v'maiti v'maiti. So Naomi says to her two daughters-in-law, like, go home, don't come with me, Hashem should do chesed for you, just as you had done with my deceased sons and with me. Hashem should give you menucha, each one in the house of her husband, and she kisses them, and they lift up their voices and they cry. So it's important to note that we're going to actually have those three words again in Pasuk Yud Dalet, v'tisena kolana v'tivkena. We'll come back to that at that point in time. But what is the purpose of her kissing here? So that's also something that we should think about as we read the next psukim. V'tomar nalach la ki tach nashuv lameich. And the two of them, so we're talking about Arpa and Rut, both of them say, no, we're going to go with you. V'tomar nami shov na benotai lama teilach neimi ha'ud libanim b'me'ai v'yu lachem lanashim. So she says, why would you come with me? It doesn't make any sense. I don't have any, I'm not pregnant, I don't have any children. So what happens? Go back, my daughters, because I'm too old to be with a man. Even if I had a husband, and tonight I found I became pregnant from him tonight. Says, it doesn't matter, by the time that child is old enough, you're going to be too old. Why would you want to be an aguna? It's just not worth it, and I'm bitter from what God has done to me. Okay, so basically the most important pasuk that we're going to look at tonight, they lift up their voices and they cry more. Okay, so the more is because in Pasuk Tet, they already cried and did this. And Arpa kisses her mother-in-law and Ruth clings to her. So let's take a look at those words, the Tisena Kulana V'Tivkena, again, and see what is the difference between them and Pasuk Tet. Should not be very hard. A quick look and you'll notice what's the difference between them. I know the people that are not driving have a lot of extra pressure. Say again. Yeah, the Aleph. Right, the Aleph and Pasuk in Vatisena is the only seeming difference between the two of them. So the Al Sheikh brings that down as one of his questions. He said, why is it spelled chaser when the other one is spelled male. So he has two suggestions, but I'll put it out there first. Any thoughts on why perhaps it's not spelled male? It's not spelled the regular way?
I mean, the one in your dog, the one without the aleph, I guess maybe can then be read as a different word, maybe about the shana, like maybe changed. I don't know. Okay. It's right.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely an interpretation. You could play around with it without the aleph easier, more easily. Okay, good. Thank you. Anybody else? So the Al-Sheikh suggests that there is something different about the crying in the first pasuk versus the second pasuk. He says that perhaps the second one is not really crying or not full crying. So if there are three people crying in the second one, or two people at least crying in the second one, one can make the argument that Arpa, at this point in time, her crying is not fully from the heart, and that's what the Al-Sheikh suggests. He also gives a different answer, which I'm not really sure how that works into the psukim, but he says that there are two women that are critical to David HaMelech coming into existence, and those two people are Rut and Tamar. And so the fact that it spells it Chaser is a hint to Tamar, not sure exactly how he gets there, to say that she was critical in the development of David HaMelech. If she had not come forward with Yehuda back originally, and now, if not for the fact that that Rut does what she does first with Naomi and then with Boaz, there would not have been a David HaMelech. Okay, so Arpa kisses and Rut davka ba. She clings to her. So, you know, sometimes we're gonna take a look at the. Sometimes we think of it more as like she hugs, and therefore, you know, it's hug versus a kiss. But the truth is, there is no. It's not so much that it's a hug versus a kiss, as much as it's a kiss versus clinging. So what is the difference? So if you take a look at the Malbim talks about this idea of kissing and says v'tishak arpa nishikashel prishut. It's a goodbye kiss. Kihilo kivna rak elamawil v'rut shekavanata hayam mipnei atov davka ba. So she was doing what she thought was right. And so when you do what's right, sometimes like the moment passes, it's not such a big deal. I mean, she said all the right things, she did all the right things. And finally, she concedes to her mother-in-law, says, "Why, you don't want me here? I'm leaving." There should be no tainas that way. Okay. But Ruth.
So just the wording, the Batishak Arpa Lachama says is two, like, you know, it's kind of a distance between them, or the. And the Dafka Buzz, you know, is not about Dafka La, like to her, it's, you know, like with her, is much more aligned, I guess, than Arpa is kind of opposite, I guess.
Yeah, I hear that. That's, you know, I guess her mother is more distant, mother-in-law is more distant in the kiss than in the Ruth Dafka Buzz. Yeah, okay, excellent. Good pickup. So, according to the Malbim, it's a parting kiss. It's not necessarily, sometimes when a person like has to say goodbye to someone and they give them a kiss, it's not necessarily from the heart, but it's like a social obligation. We know that when we say goodbye to certain people, that's what we have to do. But not, that's not the case by Dafka Ba, that she clings to her, right? She says, "I'm not letting you go." I guess the picture is like, you know, You're leaving for a few days. You get to the door to say goodbye to your family. So, you know, everybody lines up, and they know, you know, you have to kiss goodbye. That's the root. That's the Batishak Arpa Lachamota. And then, I don't know, it might not happen anymore at this age with our kids, but think back, you know, a few years ago, where your kid like grabs onto your leg and holds on and says, "I'm not letting go. If you're going, you have to take me with you." Right, so that's different. That's not obligatory. Generally, that's a kid that does not want to see their parent leave. So that seems to be the difference between Arpa and Rut. So the Ralbag takes it a little bit further and says, "Ratzali parei mimenu v'hareita bezeh data Shalonit Kaira, Kim Ibn Chashka Ben Ami. So the Ralbag says that Arpa never wanted to stay with her. She really, at this point, just wanted to get out of it. And the proof of it is that she was never misguided. Only because, I guess, it's not that she wasn't. She was not, the only reason why she converted was she desired the son of Naomi. So she, right, talking about Ruth, she genuinely wanted to be part of the Jewish people. She genuinely chose Judaism. And that's why she says, wherever you go, I'll go. Your nation is my nation. Your God is my God. Okay, so it seems to be that the Ralbag takes the parting kiss a little bit further and says not only was the kiss a parting kiss, but even her entire embrace of Naomi's family was self-serving, right? She liked the son, and that's what motivates her to become part of the Jewish people. Okay, let's take a look at a famous Gemara in Sota Mem Bet Amud Bet. We're talking about Goliath fell into the hands of David and his servants, and it says Vatishak Arpa Lachamota. Arpa kissed her mother-in-law, Rutafka Ba. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yavo Bnei Ha'Neshuka, Viplu Biyad Bnei Ha'Devuka. There is a war that's going on between the Plishtim and between David Melech. The future David HaMelech, between the son of Arpa and the son of Rut. And the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the Bnei HaNeshuka, the one who kissed, right, the parting kiss goodbye, should fall into the hands of the one that clinged. Rava then goes on to say that in the merit of the four tears that Arpa spilled, so she was zocha to have these four giborim shemar v'tisena kolan v'tivkana od. That is, those four words are proof that she cried. Okay, so it's a beautiful message here that even a minor, possibly not wholehearted cry, is not forgotten by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so the basic gist of it is that we have the neshuka arpa in contrast to the Devuka route. So it's nice that we're told that she clings, but we still don't really have a motivation why she stays. Any questions, any thoughts before we continue? All right. So let's take a look at Bereshis Bet, the middle source. Alken yazov ish et aviv et imo v'davak b'ishto v'yul v'asar echad. Right, this is after man was created. At the very end of creation, man takes woman. They find each other. Now they have their soul, their partners. So the Torah then gives us like the nature of marriage. At this point, a person gets married. Yazov ish et aviv ve'et imo. He leaves his parents. V'davak be'ishto v'yul v'asar echad. And he clings to his wife, and they become one. So what does that mean? Right? How does that exactly work? V'davak b'ishto v'yul v'asar echad, that they'll become one. So so Yael Ziegler quotes Aviva Zornberg, and she says that when a person gets married and they become basar echad, that's actually doesn't automatically happen, but that's the goal. The goal is that these two separate people will form one identity together, or not one identity, one unit together, and that unit makes them basar echad. How does that happen? It doesn't automatically happen, but it's a selfless act, meaning if each side is completely selfless and they're really focused on the other one, they become truly basar echad. And that's how you become dvuka. That's how you become connected. And that's what Ruth does in our story. By you, right? When it says that the root dafka ba, what was it that she does? She chooses to become one with Naomi. It's a selfless act. In a sense, it's what she does is similar to marriage. But it's not quite as good, because we get married. The goal is Vayulava Sarechad, you're gonna become one, and you're hoping to build a new, happy, positive life together, and the person gives you companionship, and there's the opportunity to build a family. Ruth goes in with Naomi without that. It's clear from the end of the parak that Naomi really does not have a great interest in becoming a unit with Ruth. And certainly it seems as though the prospects of children in any which way is next to zero. But Aviva Zornberg also points out that this is in contrast to Elimelech. Very beginning of the Megillah is what happens. There is right in the times of the Shoftim, there is a man, and what does he do? He goes by himself. Vayelech, it's in singular, right? Perhaps even Yael Ziegler suggests that's the very message of Ruth. What she does is not only in contrast to Elimelech, but it's in contrast to the entire generation. The entire generation was, I did what was best for me, I took care of myself, and I let go of everybody else. But what's the Torah telling us? The root daf gaba is that she actually thinks more than just about herself. She thinks about everyone else. And so the first possibility is that the pasuk is supposed to be kind of hinting at the notion of marriage, and that marriage is vayulav asar echad, that you become one, and that's the idea of clinging, and that is what Ruth attempted to do. So why does she do that? Because she cares for Naomi, and she loves her, and she can't leave her by herself. Okay, so that's one possibility. Second possibility is vatomer hinei shavei yivimteich alamav elohel shuvi acharei yivimteich. So Naomi says to Ruth, listen, did you not notice? Like, Arpa left. Do the same thing. She says, no, don't do this. Don't force me to go back. Alright, I'll go where you go. I'll sleep where you sleep. Your nation is my nation. Your God is my God. Right, wherever you die, I'll die, and then I'll be buried. So she says, I swear that only death will separate us. Okay, she sees that there's no way she's going to convince her, so she stops speaking to her. So either there's just a silence in their journey, or it just means she accepts her. So the Medrash actually says that this is hinted at the conversation one is supposed to have with a convert. You're supposed to actively and aggressively try to convince them you don't want to be Jewish. Being Jewish is not good for you. Do you understand what's going to happen? There's all these restrictions. Right? You kind of level with the person in a very deep and forceful way. And then at a certain point in time, if they continue to push and push and push, then you accept them and say, okay, fine, you're part of the Jewish people. So the second possibility of why she clings, right, Reru Daf Gaba, says Yael Ziegler, is it's her love for Hashem. This is her desire to convert. So she says, I don't want to leave the Jewish people. I love what the Jewish people represent, and that is where I want to be going forward. Okay, that's a second possible answer of why she clings. Okay, the third
one.
What?
Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe you're going to get to this, but where is Ruth being a positive role model in the Jewish people? Because, you know, you're describing a society that's really self-centered. You know, Naomi and her husband and her brother-in-law, you know, they're all not part of a mainstream Jewish community. So where is she being a positive message from?
You mean I'm sorry. I want to make sure I understand your question, Steve. Your question is, where did she get this from? Like, where does she learn this from?
Yeah, where was her role model in all this that she would think positive things?
Yeah, it's a great question. So she definitely feels a little bit Avraham Avinu like, where, you know, she lech lecha, she leaves her home and she joins the Jewish people. I mean, Avraham starts the Jewish people, so it's even more substantial. Right, I mean, I guess you could ask the question there also, like, where does Avram see it from? Like, we don't have any indication. I'm not sure where the role model is. In her desire to be closer to Hashem, the possibility lies that she's inspired by Eglon, her grandfather, her great-grandfather, who is the king of Moab back in the times of Ehud, the second Shofate. He hears the name of God and stands up in reverence. Is it possible that she's doing the same thing? That's where she picks it up from? I don't know. But yeah, I'm not sure where. I mean, in terms of where she sees it from, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess I could. Maybe this is the answer, Stephen. You could tell me if you agree, like it, don't like it. But I'll share with you a personal story. When I started Al HaDerech 20 years ago. So, the idea was given to me by my father-in-law. It was his suggestion. Thank God it worked out. But people asked me over the first couple of years, how did you learn how to run a camp? So, okay, I spoke to people that ran camps. That was very helpful. But I think the real place I learned was my role model. Who was my role model? I worked in a camp for 5 of the 7 previous summers, and it was the most poorly run camp I have ever associated with. Like, if you could do it wrong, like, they wrote the book. So where did I learn how to run a camp from? Like, I would constantly channel my inner, and the director was a good friend of mine. I would constantly think, like, okay, he did X, we should do the exact opposite. He did Y, definitely are staying away from that. So I guess, Steve, you could, you could make the argument. Where does she learn it from? She sees Elimelech is so self-centered, and she sees her family, even Naomi, right? You can make the argument last week. Why did she go back? Because she saw that there was bread in Beit Lechem Yehudah. Okay, there's food? Fine, I'll go back. She doesn't come across as selfless either. And even as the story goes on, it doesn't seem when she sends Ruth out to go be uncomfortable in the field with the men, not knowing anyone, that she's necessarily selfless. Maybe it's possible that Ruth's role models were all the people that did the wrong thing. So, I don't know. Does that work for you?
Love it.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. It's the best I have. Okay, so the third possibility. So we've asked the question many, many, many times. Love your friend like you love yourself. Ani Hashem. Why do we need Hashem there? So I actually saw a beautiful answer that I think answers that question, but it also answers what is Ruth's motivation. So if Soloveitchik says, how am I supposed to love Hashem? How do I do that? Right? Hashem is not, you know, it's not a physical being. It's loving, it's almost like loving a concept. It's much, 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 much harder, right? You know, it's the holiday of Shavuos coming up. I love cheesecake. Right? It's true. So what happens? It's easy to understand how a person loves cheesecake. It's a physical thing. But how does a person love an idea? That is much, 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 much harder. So if Soloveitchik says, how do you love Hashem? The way you love Hashem is by loving your fellow man, you learn how to love Hashem. So, v'hav l'recha kamocha, love your fellow person. And what will happen? The result of that is, ani Hashem, you will figure out how to connect and how to love Hashem. Says of Soloveitchik, says Yael Ziegler, building on that idea, it's possible that actually what Ruth was doing was, she loved her mother-in-law as a vehicle to loving Hashem. In order to reach the point that she could love Hashem, she used her mother-in-law as a way, by doing all these things, by being so selfless and devoted and dedicated to her mother-in-law, it actually brings her closer to God. That's the third possible answer. Fourth one, and with this, we'll wrap up the Megillah for the year, is let's take a look at the words, Ko yaseh Hashem li v'cho Yosef. So I will do for God, which it's a promise. Now, that language, Ko yaseh blank li v'cho Yosef, comes up 12 times in Tanakh. Where are the other 11? I don't know. I drew a total blank on it. But she does point out one of them. So if you want to try to figure out the other 10, by all means. But we have one other one where it actually uses the exact same language. She points out that in general, when we have Chol Yaseh Hashem li v'chol Yosef, it's usually Chol Yaseh Elokim li v'chol Yosef. Usually in Tanakh, it's with Elokim. But here, it's with Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And in our other story, it's also in Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And she does also point out that it's not clear when that language is used whether God is doing something good for you or not. So take a look at the second to last source. Tomorrow is the third day, right? Hashem will point out, and I'll find out how my father what my father feels about you, and I'll let you know. So he says, Yonatan says, I swear by God of Yonatan that if my father is up to no good with you, I'll tell you, and I'll let you go so that you can go peacefully and nothing will happen to you. Hashem should be with you just as he was with my father. And it sounds like this is a promise that's being made that should go to the grave. And this should last forever. Even when Hashem allows David to take vengeance upon his enemies. So Yonatan makes him swear, or another swear, with his love for him was so great, his soul loved him. It actually sounds a little bit also like the Verut Daf Gaba. But the connection besides the language between these two stories is that the connection between Ruth and her mother-in-law and the connection between Yehonatan and David is illogical. But what in each case, the person doing it, they're making this promise, they're connecting to the other person to their absolute detriment, right? If David HaMelech, and Ruth ends up staying with Naomi, there is the possibility that she'll never have a family, she'll never be able to continue. This is where she is, she'll be stuck there forever. And how about Yonatan? Yonatan embracing David makes no sense. He's the enemy of his father. Why is he doing it? So perhaps the message that the Torah is trying to tell us is that it doesn't make any sense. It's not just that it's selfless. Okay, selfless could also be that even in a selfless act, there could be something for a person in there, right? A person gives unconditionally to their wife and children. That's beautiful. But there also could be a reciprocal relationship there. But to go in the relationship that Ruth and Yehonatan are willing to embrace, it's a relationship that might bring nothing but suffering and bad, and yet you do it because despite the lack of logic, a person does it because they are avato nafsho haivo. It is because of this deep, deep love that one has for the other. So I'll end with the following. Ruth has the name Root, where does it come from? What is its basis? So three possibilities are given. The first one is it comes from Rivahu. It means saturated. That she's going to give birth to a descendant that will have David and Melech, And David HaMelech will saturate the world with praises for God through Sefer Tehillim. In this possibility of her name, she is a nothing, but her entire everything is devoted to the future. A second possibility, should say Ra'ata, not Ra'a, is she saw Naomi, her mother-in-law's needs, and she took care of it. And the third one is Re'ut, loyalty and friendship. These are the three traits that made her worthy of being the mother of Mashiach. Right? She becomes the ancestor of Mashiach through these three traits. Perhaps also one could make the argument that that's actually the connection to Shavuos. That's why we read it on Shavuos, is that those are the three qualities that each and every one of us need to have. One is the devotion to adding Torah to the world, even if it's going to be not through us, but through other people, and we're not really much in the process, but if we could devote ourselves wholly to the future of the Jewish people that way, that is certainly something that's really noble. Seeing the needs of others, certainly those that are suffering, is something that's critical to being a successful Jew, and the idea of loyalty, unconditional loyalty to those values. Those are perhaps the values that we need in order to be successful, and perhaps that's the reason why Ruth becomes the hero of the holiday. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful 3-day Yontiv.